Amen. The Lord promised that he would take care of us. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. And thank you all for filling this out, it being an encouragement to those that are on the front line. So please write a scripture or just a thought that you can cheer someone up and let them know that God is watching over them and blessing them. And we appreciate the service that they are giving. I would like to also share with you that we have a thank you note. This comes from Vanessa Harvey. Thank you, church family, for all your prayers and monetary gifts. You are a blessing to my family. Appreciating them just comes naturally. Thank you. And we would like to just welcome everyone that's joining us, both in service and out in the parking lot, as well as those that will be joining us online. It's good for you all to be with us today. Let me invite you to our website, www.crossroadbc.com. There you'll find a lot of resources. You'll also be able to find the link to our sermons, not only for today, but also in the past. You can find that, as well as if you go in, you can find some of the manuscripts that we've been preparing over, I don't know, the last couple of years. So if you want to go back and read some things about our sermons or the thoughts that the Lord has laid upon our heart, you can certainly do that. Amen? And a week later or so, we will be on WLLL Radio with these messages, trying to be an encouragement to our community so that people will know that God is real. Even though there's a lot of stuff that's going on these days, including this pandemic, we know that God is a good God. Amen? So again, we welcome each one of you as we join in worship today. Please continue to pray for those that are in the hospital, those that are struggling with this pandemic. I believe I've got one member that's in the nursing home, Cliff Daring, and we also have Ms. Tinsley, Grace Tinsley. So we ask that you pray for them. Pray for families that have lost loved ones. This thing is serious. And pray for families that have lost loved ones to this COVID, and also those that are going through times of bereavement, because they need your prayers and they need your support. If you can be an encouragement to someone, please, please do that. Amen? Well, we're about into our fourth week talking about prayer and how do you pray powerful prayers. We've been using the prophet Elijah for our example. Now, when we talk about Elijah, people, most of all, they want to think of Elijah as someone who's spiritually way up here, but we're way down here. That's not the way that James described Elijah. So turn in your Bibles as we look at 1 Kings chapter 19, and we're going to find out what James was talking about when he wrote about Elijah, saying that he was a man of like passions as we are, or he was a human like we are. We tell ourselves, well, I can't pray a powerful prayer because I'm only human. Well, you being human, God has designed it so that you can pray powerful prayers. So turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19, or on your iPad, you can pull it up, or on your other electronic device. Secure is looking at me like, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. So if you got the Bible app, you can turn to that as well as we begin reading from chapter 19. By the way, we want to remind you that we have one of our members that's going to be turning 100 this year, next month. Ms. Ruby Mickles will be turning 100, and we're going to plan some things for her celebration. We're in the works right now, but we want to celebrate her. We're also planning on doing some special things for Friends Day. I didn't even realize Friends Day coming up first Sunday in April. We'll have our Friends Day. So we can have more inside the sanctuary, but don't get us too nervous with everybody inside. Be mindful that we can also have it on the parking lot by tuning in to FM 89.3 if you're in the parking lot. So we want to see people come out, just not everybody up in here. Is that all right? 1 Kings 19, verses 1 through 3. When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, including the way that he had killed all the prophets. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah saying, may the God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you killed them. Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Skip down to verse 8. So he got up and ate. This is Elijah, and drank the food, and the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. And after, skip down to verse 12, and after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper or a still small voice. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. We want to share with you just some thoughts today of finding God in a crisis. Finding God in crisis. Well, now, what you want to do when you have prayer, you want to certainly be able to find God in a crisis because we need his strength and we need his grace. But that's now easier said than done. And we're going to see how Elijah models and is able to show us some things of how you and I can find God in a crisis. Now, we're still talking about prayer. We're still talking about prayer because that's where you commune with God. That's where you have fellowship with God. But that's also where you learn how to deal with situations in this world. You learn how to approach and how to deal with different things that might come your way. Now, I know what you're probably saying is if I'm a child of God, why does the Lord want me to go through a crisis? That's a good question. All of us have asked it. When we found ourselves in the midst of a situation, and ours is not as worse, not as bad as Elijah's was. Be mindful of that. He's running for his life. He's understanding now, I've got someone that's threatening to kill me, and that's serious. Yours may or may not be life-threatening, but still it put pressures on you to the point where you say to yourself, you know what, if I just had wings, I'd fly away and be at rest. Are we there? Anybody been there? If I could just escape, if I could just fill my tank up with gas and just head west or head wherever, I would fly, I would run away so I could be out of this. But is that going to solve the problem? Is that going to take care of the need? And as we look at Elijah, here was a man that had stood up against the prophets of Baal. I'm talking about this mighty warrior of God. He stood up against the prophets of Baal, and he said, now, if Baal is God, worship him. But if Yahweh is God, then worship him. Here was a man that said, it will not rain 3.5 years. And guess what? It didn't rain 3.5 years. Here was one who stood up against the king of that day and told him, this is what the Lord says. But when Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you, Elijah became human just like us. You know, this is what I call the monster. Everybody has a monster. You have something, I have something that terrifies me more than anything else. It may not bother anyone else, but it bothers us. Now, Elijah's monster happened to be a wicked woman called Jezebel. Now, was she serious? Was she presenting a serious threat? Absolutely. She had killed a lot of the prophets. She had slain a lot of innocent people because she was an idol worshiper. She did not care about people. She cared about the things she worshiped. And you got to be careful when you're around folk that they care about their own beliefs more than they care about people. Because guess what? Christianity and believing in God is all about God's caring for people. The heart of Christianity is found in the scripture that says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So when you talk about Christianity versus some of these other beliefs that people have, and trust me, folks out there believe in some crazy stuff. So here is Elijah facing this threat of what I call a monster. What you need to be thinking about right now is, what is the monster that's haunting you? Is it folks on your job, or is it your job? Is it some other emergency? Is it something medical? Is it something that is from your past that's still haunting you today? What is it that you would say, Pastor, this is my monster. This is what I'm dealing with. Now, here is Elijah trying to deal with this thing, trying to come to grips with it. And his option is, let me just run. The brother put it in the wind and he's gone. All right? You might say he hit third gear. Now, some of y'all that don't know what third gear is, that's when you got a four-shift car, you know, four gears in it, and you know, you hit first, second, and then third, that means you floating it now. Right? Spiritually, what we want to do is we want to just hightail it out of there. We want to get out of whatever mess it is and just leave it behind, say bye-bye. But sometimes our monsters can fly as fast as we do. King David found himself in the situation where he was running from his enemy. He is the one that coined this phrase, or that wrote it down in Psalm 55 in verse 6. If I had wings as a dove, then would I fly away and be at rest. That's what David said. Good people, but they were human. Godly people feared God, but they were human. Love the Lord. Same man that wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd," also said, "If I had wings, boy, if I could get out of here." Here you are, spiritual as you can be. You prayed this morning, but by 11 o'clock, oh, we ain't quite there yet, but you know what I mean. Your problem surfaced, your monster reared its ugly head. Us that's getting older, our monsters become pains in the night. That monster that comes in to taunt you, to tell you, see, God didn't hear your prayer. See, nothing happened. But don't worry, the Lord may not come when you want him, but his own time. You pray that your duty, your responsibility is to find God, pray that prayer, and say, Lord, I'm going to leave it in your hands. He was facing his monster. We have to face ours. Some of us have now seen that this monster is a pandemic called Corona. How do you deal with it? You're watching loved ones get sick, or you watch them pass away. How do you deal with these monsters in your life? You're looking at the inner struggles that we face. I made a note here. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, one of those great preachers from England in the 1800s, he wrote this word. He said, if God should constantly rock us in the cradle of prosperity, we would become intoxicated with pleasure. Let me say that again. If God should continually rock us in the cradle of prosperity, we would become intoxicated with pleasure. What I'm here to tell you is that Elijah is now being groomed of God, but God's grooming room happens to be a place of trouble. If God answered every prayer the way he wanted, if God never let him go through a stressful moment, we start getting this attitude, hot dog, man, I'm doing pretty good. I'm a super spiritual person. And so we walk around with these Christian titles as if we are great, but inside we're human just like everybody else. Am I preaching to somebody? Yeah, call me pastor, call me bishop, call me reverend, call me apostle, call me this, but inside you're real human. No matter what you call yourself, what breaks somebody else may not break you, but you got a monster. You got a monster. Am I talking to somebody? That's why James tells us that this man called Elijah was human just like you. So here he goes, as we follow the text, here he goes. Instead of him remaining up around Samaria where God had assigned him, he runs back to Judah where he's from, comes near the town of Beersheba, gets under this juniper tree. That's an old broom tree. It ain't got much shade, but it got a little bit. You know, and we want to try to find shade from those that are throwing shade. You know, we want to try to get out of this mess that we're in. So here's Elijah. But guess what happens when you're running from your monster? You get tired. You get tired. If I had time, I would tell y'all this long story about this man that was running from his monster. And he just running. He ran here and there. He ran and ran and ran. And the monster was right behind. He could feel the hot air of that monster right behind. He could feel it. He ran and ran and ran till all of a sudden he tripped and fell. And Al, when he tripped and fell, he looked up and there was that monster facing him. And the monster stood over him. And the monster said, "Tag, you're it." Some of y'all missed that. I kind of like that story. All right, so we've got these monsters. We got these things that we face in life. And it may not be a simple thing of where they're just wanting to have fun. It could be a Jezebel who's out to take your life. And trust me, little things that we allow to come along us, aside us when we're young, thinking, "Oh, it ain't gonna hurt me." A lot of people have drug addictions today that they can't shake because they took it as one little thing. You know, you're just kind of hanging out at a party and, oh, you know, somebody comes up with something, "Hey, take this or smoke this or do this." You do it and now you can't shake it. You can't get away from it. It becomes a monster. Or, coming down to Church Street now, click, 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 put on my signal. Or, somebody does something in the church to you and they kind of irritate you, and rather than you just saying, "Oh, well, that's the way people are," you kind of let it just come on in and say, "Ooh, ooh, ooh, I'm going to get them back." Now what happens, that thing begins to fester. It begins to grow. It becomes a sore. And each time you replay it, you pick at it. And now it's infected. And not only is something that you have animosity toward a certain person that first started that, now you're mad at everybody in that church. Church folk ain't no good. Well, guess what? That feeling that you have, that's your monster. And it's not going to go away until you start dealing with it. Elijah is on the run. Jezebel is out to get me. Goes to sleep under a juniper tree. An angel will not allow you. God's angel, God's mercy, God's love will not allow you just to sleep when you got a problem. There up under that juniper tree, the Lord touched him the first time, said, "Elijah, arise and eat." He got up and ate. And guess what? When you're too weak, all you want to do is go back to sleep. So he does that. And that's what we do. We turn on gospel music, or we read the scripture, or we get some religious book and we read a couple of chapters and we say, "Man, I feel better," and we go back to sleep rather than dealing with that monster. Here's some things that Elijah did that I think all of us should do. Second time the angel came to him, he said, "Arise, Elijah, rise and eat and then go. You can't stay here." Look at somebody for the first time and tell him, "You can't stay here." Don't touch him now. Wave at him if you have to and tell him, "You can't stay here. You can't stay in a position where your monster is dominating your life. You got to deal with it. God wants you to deal with it. He pleads with you to deal with it. Yes, you can run, but guess where you need to run? You need to run in the direction where God is. Now, Elijah's at a place where he said, I can't find God anywhere, but I know where God was found in the first place, and that is Mount Sinai. Some scriptures call it Mount Horeb. He said, let me go down south. Now, he's about as south as you can go without getting into Egypt. That's where a lot of people go. They get right to the border. But he's far enough where he can find God. You need to admit that you are human and get to the place on your knees where you say, I'm going to be serious about this thing. I'm going to listen to God and allow him to speak to me. I want him to tell me what's going on. How many of y'all feel that way? I want to reel you into the sermon because I've studied this thing for the last week or so, and I've studied it, and God has dealt with me about some of the monsters in my life and asked the question, what are you doing here? Why are you here in your faith when you need to be further along with where God wants you to be? Is that where you want to be? You know, we need to be at a place where we can be on the forefront, where we can be advancing and saying, Lord, I think I still got a problem. Still got that old monster, but I got him tied out back. He ain't bothering me no more. I got him to the place where now things are under control. And that's where you need to get into discovery mode. Isn't it something we can always notice the problem, but we can't see what God is doing? And I want to ask the simple question, who is bigger? Is your problem bigger? And the only thing you can do is say, well, this is what happened to me. You ever seen some people, sometime you talk to them and you know what they're going to say before they say it because they got this look on your face. I'm going through so much mess. I just want to tell somebody about the mess I'm going through. You ever had that happen? You know what's going to happen. But what if they opened their mouth and said, guess what? I'm finished with discovering my problem. I want to discover God. How many of y'all want to discover God? I'm finished with trying to figure out pandemics and all of this stuff. I want to figure out what's going on in the kingdom. Guess what? There is no corona in heaven. Guess what? Around the throne, everything's fine. There's no economic. People are not losing their jobs in heaven. I've never seen one unemployed angel. Now, I saw some fired angels, but I ain't seen them unemployed yet. I'm telling you because if you're a part of the kingdom, and guess what? You're a part of the kingdom right now. Not later. You're in God's kingdom and in his glory and in his presence right now. What you got to do is get into the discovery mode. And you got a first thing that Elijah discovered is that God will give me strength. Write that down and you know, God will give me strength. You wonder what all of this feeding Elijah was all about. It's about God nourishing him. Everything else had depleted his energy. He didn't have any way of being regenerated, rejuvenated by the power of God. Sometimes you got to sit down, get your Bible, and start eating the food in the Word. And say, Lord, I don't know everything that's in this book, but I tell you what, I believe before I get up, you're going to tell me something that can nourish me. You need strength. You need strength. You're not the Energizer Bunny. And guess what? If that Energizer Bunny didn't have that battery, he wouldn't be marching around beating a drum. Are y'all still here? You got to have a good battery, and your battery was put in you when you got saved by the Spirit of the living God. God gave you a battery. Now get up and get ready to beat that drum. You need energy, and it's not coming from this world. It's not coming from how much money is in your bank account. It's not coming from you being young or I've got about the energy of a youth. Now, even the youth get tired and get weary. That's what Isaiah said. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. And as you take on this new energy from God, allow him to feed you. Here's the problem. We get picky and we got our favorite verse. Forget about your favorite verse if you're hungry. Even if it means God telling you something about yourself that you don't want to hear, he can still feed you from that verse. Are y'all still here? So you need to discover that God is feeding me. So Elijah consumed what the Lord gave him. And guess what? It gave him enough strength, just that meal alone. It wasn't a permanent solution, but it gave him enough strength where he could go 40 days and 40 nights. Isn't that something? God is an awesome God. You ought to give him some praise today. You ought to just thank him. But then if Elijah's going to take that energy, that strength that he has, and he's going to run, where is he going to run to? He can't just go anywhere. He has to go to the place where God has designed to meet with him. Even though he's out of place, even though he's not where he should be, he's running in the direction where he can meet God. Are y'all still here? So he goes down to Mount Sinai, and that's the same place where God gave the Ten Commandments. That's the same place where God said, Israel shall be a nation. That's the same place where God showed his glory to the people. And what Elijah wants is to see the glory of God. I'm telling you, I've seen so much mess in this world. What I now want to do is to see God's glory. I want to see him in his Shekinah. I want to be able to behold the beauty of the Lord and to ask questions, to inquire in his tabernacle. Lord, what is that? If he's got angels that are praising him, I want to know what the glory is all about so I can praise them too. You need to have a pathway. And I want to tell you that in the mess, in the confusion that we're facing, we can depend on God to show us the right path. What it says in Psalm 23, he leadeth me in the path of what? Righteousness for his namesake. Elijah is being led, and he's discovered that path. But then the third discovery of what he has found, the third discovery, if we follow along in the text, Elijah arrived at what I call a safe place. You know, the place where monsters can't come? If they do, they will no longer be monsters. Are y'all still here? Because everything in this world, as Reverend Gibbons said a little while ago, has been created by God, including that monster that you're allowing to haunt you. God allowed it. God allowed Jezebel. Didn't mean that Jezebel was right. But God allowed Jezebel to come in and to help Elijah to grow in the spiritual things that he needs to grow in. You know, sometimes when a little child is learning to walk, we want to always be there to hold their hands up. Oh, ain't they cute? They're so cute. But if you always hold their hands, if they never stumble, if they never fall, they won't learn to walk on their own. They'll only walk so much as so long as you're there. And you can't be there all the time, nor should you be. In order for them to be strong, you got to let them get up. They got to fall down. And then they got to get back up again. And it's in that getting back. Some of y'all had to do that, amen? Some of y'all went through some stuff that knocked you flat on your face. But guess what? You rolled over and said, you know what? I'm getting up from here. That's the thing I like about God. Yeah. Matter of fact, let's take our first praise break right here. And can you think about the times where you were down and the devil said you're out, but God said, not yet, and you got back up. Give God some praise up in here. Ain't he good? Oh, that may not be proper English, but it is proper praise. God is so good. Didn't let us stay down, but got us back up. Here is Elijah. He's finding this safe place. Everybody say safe place. Safe place. I remember as a little boy, Deacon Bolden, you can relate to this. We didn't have running water. You ran out and got the water from the well. But the sun would come up on the front side of that well, Freddie. And I'm going to tell you that it was the warmest place. And Carolyn, when I would get in front of that well, I think all my problems are gone. But guess what? The well box is now destroyed. But in my mind, I can still go back to that place, and I got a safe place. Because God didn't give me a well box, God gave me God. Are y'all here in the house? Second praise break, amen. When you couldn't make it out of your storm, God met you in the storm, made a way out of nowhere, held you by the hand, and told you it was going to be all right. Look at somebody, tell them it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. I'm in my safe place. As long as I can find God, let the wind rage. Let the thunder roar. Let whatever will happen, God is with me. And I shall not fear. That safe place. How do you know when you've arrived at the safe place? It said that Elijah came to the place. He came to that cave. and he dwelt there. Look at it in the text. He said, here's where I need to be. Let me wait on God. I'm now here at Mount Sinai. Where's your Mount Sinai? I know you got your mountain of debt. You got your mountain of trouble. You got your mountain where you worry. But where's your Mount Sinai? Come on, saints. You got all these other mountains staring down at you. Why ain't you got a Sinai? Why don't you have a place where you can get down on your knees and say, Lord, it's going to be all right. You got your mountain of fear. Lord, what's going to happen to my child? You give them to the Lord on the mountain of Sinai and you ain't worried about it. Are y'all still in the house? I know you got to get up out of here. Here I am talking about discovery. So what do we discover? We've discovered God gives strength. We discover that God gives us a path. We discover that God gives us a safe place, a place where we can go. What's the next discovery? You need to discover the voice of truth. The voice of truth. Here I'm going to step on some saints' toes today. I hope you had some shoe polish today, because I'm sure going to step on your. I stepped on mine. All right. First thing that happened when he got to the cave, Elijah heard the wind. I mean, the wind just blowing, everything happening. But the Bible says that God was not in the wind. Then after the wind, there came a mighty earthquake, shook up everything. An earthquake, that's got to be God. No, God was not in the earthquake. Then following the wind and the earthquake, God sent the fire. Oh, man, that's God now, because at the mountain of God, it was on fire, right? But read the text. God was not in the fire. It says after the fire, there was a what? Still, small voice, which means you got to listen. All right, now here we go, church. Well, here we go. You busy and you need to hurry up and get to where you're going. And so all of a sudden the light turns green in front of you. And you say to yourself, that must be the Lord. God was not in the light turning green. You drive around, you got to make your appointment. All of a sudden, there is an open parking space. Thank you, Lord. But God was not in the free parking space. I know I'm making you mad. I know I am. I want to make you mad. I want to get you real irritated. Here's what happens. You set yourself up for an expectation which may not be there the next time. Next time you go down the road, the light ain't going to turn green. Matter of fact, all of them going to turn red. How many of y'all had that to happen? The Lord must not be with you. He's right there with you. He never left you. Matter of fact, he promised, I'll never leave you. God is not in the manipulation of lights and all of this other stuff that people think God is. Good things are going to happen to you. Praise God for them. Bad things are going to happen to you. Praise God in them. Romans 8:28 says all. Matter of fact, Reverend Gibbons, what does all mean? And that's all mean. He said all things, not just when you can find a parking space. Oh, that's something. No. All things work together for good, even when I'm having a rough day. Because on the rough day, as a matter of fact, the power of God is with me on a rough day, even more so on the day that, amen, I feel all secure. Are y'all still here? Smile. Well, you're behind a mask. I can't see you smile, but wave your hand. Do not set the expectation for everything to go your way and you say that's God. Because there will be some times where God will want to test you. Does he have that right? Yep, whether you give it to him or not. God will test you, and he'll test you on those days when things don't go so well. When you lose, when you hurt, when you go through struggle. But isn't it good when you go through the struggle, get on the other side of the struggle and see how you didn't do it? It's time for our third praise break here. You didn't do it, but God made a way for you.
So when he gets to the mountain, he hears this great wind, but God's not in the wind. Great earthquake, but God's not in the earthquake. Now, he caused it, but he's not in it. And then the fire. But God came to him in a still, small voice. In other words, God wants to speak to you and speak to your heart. He wants to calm you down, and he wants to ask you some questions and then give you some instruction. How would you like it if you went to a doctor and all of a sudden he started yelling at you, "Well, here's what you need to do. Take your medicine." I ain't going back to that doctor no more. I'm going to pay him money and file an insurance claim. He's going to yell and scream at me. God doesn't want to yell and scream at you. He wants to sit you down. You know, calm you down. And say, "Now listen, where are you going and what you're doing? Here are my instructions." He makes it plain. And he makes it plain through a still, small voice. Everybody all right? You got that? If you don't get anything else, that's what you need to get. God wants to talk to you. And he wants you to understand who he is, who you are, and why you need him. Is that all right? Boy, that'll preach anywhere. That'll preach anywhere. You need to know who he is, who you are, and why you need him. Last point I want to bring you is that you got to discover. Now, what have we discovered so far? Y'all been making a list? Well, yeah, you wrote it down. Okay, but now you came to understand you're right. I understand. So we discovered God's strength. We discovered God's path. We discovered the safe place. We discovered the true voice of God. There's a lot of voices out here. But do you know the truth? Jesus said only when you know the truth will the truth set you free. We're living in a day of truth decay. Truth decay. You see, Roden, but you can't change the real truth, because the real truth didn't come from here. It came out of heaven. Are y'all still here? Glory be to God. Here's the last thing. Here's the last thing. And some of us superheroes wearing our masks today, and you know, we put on our capes and we can play Lone Ranger. High hole silver, but even Lone Ranger had Tonto to help him. God said to Elijah, "You need some help." But here's the way the Lord put it. I like the way the Lord put it. Go on down to verse number, chapter 19, 1 Kings, and verse, I believe, 14 and 15. The Lord said, "Now, I want you to go back. I want you to go back where you come from. You don't belong here on this mountain, even though it's a good place of worship. It's not a great place to work." So y'all missed that. Okay, so he had to go back up to northern Israel, and now he's got to preach to the same folk that he ran away from. But the Lord said, "I'm going to give you some help. I'm going to help you out." Now, in the New Testament, we have the Holy Spirit as our helper. We have the Holy Spirit, the paraclete, to go alongside us and to give us strength. But here's what God said you need to do. "Elijah, when you get back, anoint Jehu to be king in Israel." In other words, I'm done with Ahab, and I'm going to dethrone him. I'm going to put up a man by the name of Jehu. So anoint him. And Elijah, when he got back, he was going to pour oil on his head and tell him what God wanted him to do. That's what the anointing was all about. All right, so he said, "Now, I also want you to anoint Hazael as king of Syria, the neighboring country. Anoint them as well." So Elijah said, "Yes, Lord, we're going to do that." But then God said, "Anoint Elisha as prophet in your room. You need some help." Whoa, God, wait a minute. I'm the last one. No, you're not. As a matter of fact, I'm getting ready to replace you. Oh, if things got quiet in it, right? Which means this. Now, Elijah has a responsibility of helping Elisha continue in ministry, because the ministry is not dependent on one person, but upon a continuation of people anointed by God. If you ever think that you're the only one that can stand up and do. Let me tell you something. God got some folk that can replace you anytime. If you ever think that I'm the only preacher on the block. No, you're not. God said, I got some more of them. You got to make sure that you're helping someone. You're grooming someone. As a matter of fact, we celebrate this thing of Friends Day, bringing a friend. But what you need to do is to make friends with people and then say, you know what? I'm going to help you to do what I'm doing. I'm going to help you become the servant of the Lord. When you do that, ministry will never fail. It will never fail. Three takeaways I want you to get from this sermon. Then I'm going to my seat. And we're going to get y'all out of here, all right? I know y'all said, preacher, you got long-winded today. Amen. Yeah, I did. But there are three things that you need to take away. First of all, one, face your monster with grace. Face your monster with grace. Don't ever think, well, I got to deal with this on my own. No. Face it with grace. And say, God's grace is sufficient. For in my weakness, his power is made manifest. Second takeaway, find God, not the noise. Amen. Find God, not the noise. If you got to get away from the noise, get away from the noise and find God. Then the last thing, follow God's instructions, not your feelings. Amen. Your feelings will fail you. But God will never fail you. Is that all right? Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Father, thank you for this message. Thank you, Lord, that this thing has been so good. Lord, we could stay here all day, but then I'd be by myself. So I pray that you bless us with the message that we've received. Give us that joy that only you can give, that peace that passes all understanding. And I pray for someone, Lord, that if they have realized that they have a monster that they can't deal with, they can certainly come to you. And Lord, you will forgive their sin. You will heal them and you will deliver them from darkness. I pray for people to be saved. There are a lot of people that are religious, but they're not saved. Help them to know that Jesus Christ is the pardon for their sin. He is the Savior of the world. Thank you, Lord. Bless those that need to be blessed and continue to strengthen them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Finding God in a crisis. Finding God in a crisis. We thank you all for coming today. We're going to get ready to head out, but we ask that you would remember in giving that we give to honor God. We give to recognize him. Some of you that are giving online, you can go to our website and you'll have the opportunity to click that button where it says donate and you can support the work of the ministry here. We enjoy giving because God is a giving God. Amen. He's a wonderful God. And lastly, we will remind you that we are planning on having a celebration for Ms. Ruby Mickles in next month. We'll also be celebrating our Friends Day, which is Easter Sunday. We're going to be celebrating that as well here at the Crossroad Baptist Church. So join us online, join us in person, join us in the parking lot, join us on radio, but more than importantly, join us as we go to glory. Amen. Amen. Reverend Ray is going to come and dismiss us in prayer. May we all stand and give the Lord a clap of praise as you come. Remember to fill us out. Your encouragement hand.
Look at your Lord in prayer. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before his presence, with exceeding joy, for the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power. Both now, forever, amen.